Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, illumine our hearts and minds as the scriptures are read and proclaimed, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may see what is good and right and true. And seeing, help us to do what is pleasing to you, so that your glory becomes visible in our words and deeds. In Christ's name we pray, amen. And the scripture is going to be 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. Saul anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to grieve over Saul? I've rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have found my next king among his sons." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say, 'I have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will make clear to you what you should do. You will anoint for me the person I point out to you." Samuel did what the Lord instructed. When he came to Bethlehem, the city elders came to meet him. They were shaking with fear. "Do you come in peace?" they asked. "Yes," Samuel answered. "I've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Now make yourselves holy and come with me to the sacrifice." Samuel made Jesse and his sons holy and invited them to the sacrifice as well. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and said, "This must be the Lord's appointed right in front." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Have no regard for appearance or stature, because I haven't selected him. God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans look only at what is visible to the eyes, but the Lord sees into the heart." Next, Jesse called for Abinadab, who presented himself to Samuel. But he said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." So Jesse presented Shema, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen this one." Jesse presented seven of his sons to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't picked any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Is this all of your boys?" "They're still the youngest one," Jesse answered, "but he's out keeping the sheep." "Send for him," Samuel told Jesse, "because we cannot proceed until he gets here." So Jesse sent and brought him in. He was reddish brown, had beautiful eyes, and was good looking. The Lord said, "That's the one. Go anoint him." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him right there in front of his brothers. The Lord's Spirit came over David from that point forward. Then Samuel left and went to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this word of Scripture. Now, it's not something that's read out of some sort of ancient text. It's not dead. It's alive. It's you speaking a truth, not simply ink on paper. It's you speaking of your love in our lives. Thank you for that humbling reality. And help us to be open to receive your love now. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Bear with me just for a second here. I think I just spotted Bigfoot. I'm not sure. But let me go ahead and just eyeball just a second here out in the entryway. Boy, I can see the guys out in the entryway really well now, too. That's excellent. It's like right in front of me. Okay, yeah, in the back there. Very nice. Very good. You know, these are pretty good binoculars. Yeah, okay. Well, That proves it. That proves it. This is truly one of the best looking groups of Christians I've ever seen in my entire life. It proves it. I just wanted to try these out and see if they worked, and they do. Now let me share something with you. Certainly, as I was looking over the gathering today, I saw some people who maybe have less hair than they used to, a lot less. And, you know, maybe it wasn't a picture of perfection. But whenever I say it's one of the best looking groups of Christians that I've ever seen, I'm not talking about the outside. I'm talking about the inside. Again and again, that's what we are called to be here, working from the inside out. And that's what we're also called to look for when we see one another, to be able to understand what's happening inside. Is that a challenge? Certainly, no question about it. And is it a challenge because sometimes people keep you at arm's length? And people can also keep you at arm's length by doing this as well. However, are we still called to try to see what's happening on the inside, to try to understand that presence of God that is in each and every person? Absolutely. No question. God looks on the inside and works on the heart level. Okay? That is what is important for us today. And that is what is important for us to understand as we seek to see as God sees. Will we ever get to the point when we are always able to look at somebody and not look at how they're acting, not look at how they're dressed, not look at what they're saying, but rather look on the inside? Will we ever get to the point when we can do that immediately every time? No, we won't. We won't. However, we can understand that when we're making that effort, when we're trying to do that, we're seeking to see as God sees. And we're seeking to understand how God understands each and every one of us. That's why when we say here in worship, God loves you, I can say that with complete trust, knowing that God does love each and every one of us. No matter what's happening on the outside, God is at work in powerful, intimate ways on the inside as well. Now, to see as God sees, does God have some sort of heavenly cosmic set of binoculars that he keeps an eye on us with? Some of us he's going to be watching really, really carefully. And some of us, he's going to notice a glare coming off of us. And I would hope that he would think, that's a holy shine maybe that's coming off. God is at work here in our hearts. And God is at work at this very moment. The scripture passage today speaks on this truth of seeing how God sees. It's a little bit of history before we get into this particular show and tell time that takes place. Saul had been chosen and anointed king. And Samuel was the one who was involved in that. Samuel, a man of God, a man who tried to humble himself to be able to follow God and trust where God led him. That's difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes we want to go our way. I want to do it my way. That Frank Sinatra song is not necessarily very Christ-centered, is it? I did it my way. But that's often what we find ourselves doing. I'm going to do it my way, and then I'm going to hope that God rescues me whenever I'm by myself in a tricky situation once again. Samuel tried to follow God, anointed Saul. And then Saul, well, let me go ahead and put it bluntly. Saul became a big, fat jerk. Have you ever had to deal with jerks in your life? Big, fat ones? Yeah. Now, big, fat jerk doesn't necessarily, I mean, that doesn't refer to somebody's size. It just means that they're being a jerk all the time. And Saul was doing that very thing. And Saul was turning away from God. And Saul was following his own way and doing his own thing. And God got tired of it. Okay? Because we have a forgiving God. But whenever God calls us and God blesses us and God loves us and especially calls us in a position of leadership, and if you are in a position of leadership and God has placed you there, but you turn away from God, you're not going to be in that position of leadership very long. That's a biblical principle. And that's actually something that I think I believe in as well. Leaders who are no longer following God, leaders that are no longer open to God and humble before God, well, they're not much of a leader anymore, quite honestly. So Samuel goes into a place, a location, geographically, that he was unfamiliar with. Okay? Anybody ever be in a location, a geographic location that they were unfamiliar with? Anybody ever decide to try to do it without GPS or anything like that, and you're looking around, or all of a sudden you thought, yeah, okay, I know exactly what I'm doing, and then you get yourself really, really lost, and then you look at your navigator sitting next to you and say, why didn't you tell me? Samuel says, okay, God, I'll go into this place that I'm unfamiliar with. And he's directed to go to this man who had a number of sons, Jesse. And in this village, this stirred up a lot of consternation. People were nervous just by seeing Samuel come into the village, because they knew Samuel was high up in Saul's court. And people were afraid of Saul. Remember what I said about Saul? He turned away from God. Okay? He wasn't following God anymore. He was doing things actually that were quite evil. So when somebody saw Samuel coming in, a representative of Saul, the king, they got nervous, thinking, what in the world did the king have in mind? What in the world was Samuel going to do? They were afraid. And Samuel tries to calm their fears, and then he has this task which was kind of extraordinary whenever you look at this. He's serving the king, the person who is still officially king, and yet he's coming to choose, anoint a new king. Would you like to be in Samuel's position right then? Okay? Knowing exactly that the person that you were serving was violent, was killing people left and right, could care less about human life. Samuel was living in that tension. And sometimes we find our own selves living in that tension as Christians as well. We find ourselves, as we humble ourselves before God and seeking to follow God, we find ourselves working with people, we find ourselves in particular situations, we find ourselves maybe involved in ministries or reaching out in ways that take us far out of our comfort zone. Ever hear that phrase? Boy, this is really taking me out of my comfort zone. Yeah. Samuel was out of a comfort zone. Samuel was within a tension, living in a tension, but it was something that God continued to guide. And what do we remember? God is already and always at work. Go ahead and share that with me. God is already and always at work. Samuel asks to see all of these sons of Jesse, okay? And one after another come by. And it kind of reminds me, in a way, of the NFL Combine, the National Football League Combine. Has anybody heard of the National Football League? They play football. Anybody have a favorite team? Let's just settle down in the front row up here. Okay, could I have some ushers? I didn't realize they were going to get that wound up here. Pray and remove the... For us, you know, we look at this, and we see these guys, and basically all people want to see at these combines is how fast somebody goes, okay? How many reps bench press somebody can do. It's just about numbers, how high they can leap. And they're all of these people, you know, literally just on their knees, staring like that, watching to see what this person looks like on the outside. Okay? The biggest, the fastest. And there are individuals that get drafted higher, okay? And that means more money. Certainly, that's the whole goal. Especially if this is your livelihood, you want that to happen. But sometimes there's somebody that slips through completely and is never drafted, goes undrafted. Somebody looks at them and says, "No way could they play in this league." I was looking online last night and I was checking out a list of individuals who have gone undrafted. In other words, the NFL says, "No way, we're not interested in you." One of the names that I think some of you will be quite familiar with is Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner. Nobody thought he was good enough. Nobody thought he could play in the league. All he did was become the most valuable player in the league twice and the most valuable player in the Super Bowl once. And he'll probably end up in the Hall of Fame. Can we always tell the quality of somebody just by looking at them? The answer to that one is no, by the way. And all these sons that go by, Samuel's looking at all of these sons of Jesse. And he's looking for this one that has, yeah, this is the next king. And there are sons that come by that boy, they look great. They're tall, long flowing hair. They are sharp, you know, that wonderful smile. Yeah, they look great. And nope, God says no. Keep going. Keep going. God says, "I'm not looking on the outside. I'm looking in the heart, inside. I'm looking inside to see who is humble, to see who will really be willing to follow me, to serve me." All the sons come by. Samuel says, "Is that it? Is that all?" And Jesse says, "No, there's one more, but he's out working with the sheep. He's the youngest." And whenever it says youngest in a biblical text, sometimes what that also means is the smallest. Okay? The runt of the family. But I'll go ahead and send for him. So David comes by, who would be King David, who would write a number of the Psalms, who would turn out to be probably the greatest king and yet faulty, certainly sinful in his own right, that the nation had ever had. And he comes by, and he's been watching sheep. So do you think that he smelled good? Has anybody ever dealt with livestock before or taken care of sheep or anything like that? Or walked out in a field where sheep are living, and do I need to fill out the picture even more? Do you understand what I'm talking about here, folks? Okay. And he comes in, so he doesn't smell good. He's not all brushed and polished and ready to go. And we understand that he's probably the run of the litter. And God says, this is my man. This is it. What happens there? There's an anointing that happens. And what's interesting here also is that sometimes we think of King David and all of his majesty and glory, but the anointing, in other words, God saying to this person, you're my next king, the anointing happens probably just within the family. There's no great fanfare. If you read the scripture, I don't notice any great fanfare around it. It just kind of happens there in a really humble and quiet way. Which reminds us also of the truth that God sometimes works in subtle and quiet ways as well, right? God doesn't always work in a big bang that grabs our attention. God works in subtle and quiet ways as well. David is anointed. Then the rest, they say, is history. That's for another sermon. God doesn't look simply on the outside. God works on the inside. And God continues to work on the inside of each and every one here. What does God see? God sees in us not only a potential, but God is already bringing to fruition wonderful gifts and talents that we're not even aware of. Wilma, the 20th of 22 children, can you imagine? The 20th of 22 children suffered from polio as a very young child. Polio. By the age of 6, Wilma also had survived double pneumonia, scarlet fever, and whooping cough. By the age of 6. She was frail. She was weak. She often needed assistance to just accomplish the smallest tasks at home and also at school. Based only on her outward appearance, Wilma was destined for a life of poverty, dependence, and frustration. However, Wilma had a fierce determination to overcome the crippling illness. Through grueling exercises every day and relentless discipline, Wilma not only began to walk, she started to run. Then Wilma not only ran, she ran fast, faster than anyone in her school. The little girl with frail legs and a fragile body had become a young woman with a powerful body and a courageous heart. That's where it started. At the 1960 Olympics in Rome, Wilma Rudolph didn't just run, she sprinted her way to 3 Olympic gold medals. This young woman, who people thought would barely survive, became a world champion and also a witness in the face of racial discrimination. From her heart, that all started. On outward appearances, she didn't look like much, just like David. But God does not look on the outside. God does not judge us on the outside. God is the one, the God of love and grace and power that is already speaking into our hearts and speaking into your heart today. Whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, God is still at work in that place. The Lord does not see what mortals see. The Lord looks on our heart. This morning, I would invite you to think about how God is at work in your life. Maybe even to reclaim that truth in these moments right now that we have. God is at work in my life. Just to be able to say that to yourself silently. And to think about this truth as well. That God will never stop being at work in you. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. It doesn't matter how others see you. It matters how God sees you. God sees you as His beautiful creation. As His child. You belong to Him. Join with me in prayer.